Happy International Women's Day. Great day to celebrate all things that women have achieved. And I tell you what, when it comes to achievements, this woman has achieved quite a lot. Focusing on the media landscape now, Shauna Willis from GWN News. Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Yes, what a fabulous day for women.
Yeah, well, we normally hear from you on GWN from the news and hear about everything that's going on in the weather, but you've been doing this for quite a while, 30 years?
It sounds a terribly long time when you say it like that.
Decades.
So, look, I've been with GWN for 30 years. On air, probably it's more about sort of 27 years.
Okay, good.
Yes. Yeah, so we're close to it. It's a long time.
It's a massive achievement, and you would have seen the landscape change so much in that time.
Oh, look, absolutely, absolutely, and obviously particularly relevant today on the International Women's Day. A changing face of media, definitely, and probably like many industries, I think, and employment areas out there that women go out to every day, a huge change in the landscape.
Where have you noticed the biggest changes when it comes to women versus men?
Look, definitely in my own experiences, I think it's that women have taken on a far larger role in more of the policy-making decisions in, you know, governing how things go. I think women have been given a stronger voice and certainly a voice that has been heard as opposed to being sort of disregarded possibly 30 years ago. I think it's pretty safe to say that media has traditionally been driven by powerful men.
Mm. When you first started, did you have a hard time finding women to look up to that were in that role?
No, I was particularly lucky in that when I was first starting, there were women like, and I'm going to drop Anne Conti's name in here, women who provided really strong leadership roles for a female coming into the television industry. They were women that were seemingly controlled, but they enjoyed success and were particularly well respected as well.
Well, now that you've been on the TV for quite a while, I imagine you have a whole generation of women looking up to you in the same regard.
Oh, look, it's a wonderful thing to think of. I certainly would love to know that there's younger women out there that can look at what I've done and think, you know, that looks all right and that's a wonderful opportunity. I might also go down that pathway. Look, the world is an oyster for young women out there. So much has changed and there's just so many opportunities and so many barriers that have been destroyed, and I can only see in the future for women that those opportunities are just going to be enormous.
Chatting about the opportunities today, you're actually going to be involved in a bit of a panel.
Yeah, I am. Look, Don Punch, our MLA, has put together a great morning tea and a panel discussion featuring a really lovely, array of women from different backgrounds and experiences. That's going to be at the Bunbury Trotting Club this morning from 10 a.m. And I'd really encourage any women who maybe want to have a bit of a voice as well. Don's there to listen to the issues and the concerns for local women, both on a local perspective but larger as well. And he's certainly in a position as a government representative to then go forth and help us develop more opportunities and governance that can help women in the future.
Excellent. That's all happening at the Trotting Club around 10 o'clock today. Before I let you go, just a bit of a message out there to any of our listeners who are wondering why International Women's Day is such a big deal.
Oh, look, I think it's important for women to come together. We need to celebrate ourselves. We need to look at our achievements. And by no means, I think, are we demeaning the value of men and certainly men's achievements. But I think we can all acknowledge that traditionally it's been a little harder for women and their voices to be heard. So I think it's an important day. We should be celebrating who we are and what we can achieve and no doubt achieve into the future. Go ladies.
Love it. Thank you very much, Shauna, for the chat.
Oh, great to talk to you.
It's the food you grew up with. The food that moulded you. The food that gave you those love handles. It's your Local Eats.
Yes, Danny Drummond now joins me. Jeez, mate. Not wrong about the love handles. These look insane and taste even better.
Mate, it's the food that gave you that cholesterol.
What have we got, mate? What are we calling these?
Mate, this is another one. I'm loving doing these ones that are out of the pantry. Leftovers. This is mac and cheese balls. Leftover pasta from last night. The macaroni cheese. We did it once with the croquettes. Today we're doing it with the mac and cheese balls. And they are dynamic. They're so tasty and so good for you with that deep fried oil and all that cheese and flour and breadcrumbs.
What I love about it is the textures. I'll drop this down for a second. Just because inside soft mac and cheese as you'd expect. Just, do you hear that crunch? I'll just do a bit more. That is what you're biting into.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is that the first time we've had food crunch on air in the world? I've never heard it.
It could be the next sound of the Southwest, mate.
Can we hear you bite it? I want to hear you bite it.
All right, let me bite it. That means I can't talk. You've got to talk for me.
Okay, I'll talk for you. Here we go. Going in for the bite.
Oh, mate.
I want one.
Sorry, mate. There's actually none for you.
Hey, super easy, Alan, too. Do you know, you make your mac and cheese up. Put it in the fridge, let it set, get it out, roll it into balls, crumb it, get it in a little fryer. Happy days. Super easy.
We'll put the full video up on our Facebook page tonight. But, yeah, they look spectacular and they taste even better. What's going on at Wild Bull Brewery?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put these on special this week at the Wild Bull Brewery. These are going to be on the menu as one of our specials because I'm excited. And do you know what else I reckon I'm going to trial? Out of the wood-fired pizza oven, what would happen if you did a wood, like a sort of margarita pizza, and then put little mac and cheese balls on top, little ones? Would that work?
I think what will happen is you are going to make a lot of money.
I'm going to experiment with that today, see what happens.
No, it sounds pretty good. I understand you've got a new menu that's not too far off as well.
Yeah, no, it's on its way. Well, when I say it's on its way, it will definitely be in place, not this weekend, but next.
Uh-huh.
And we have got the best, smokiest ribs coming to town. They are going to be awesome. We have got a new pizza, call it the Fishy Affair.
Mm-hmm.
We're going back in time to the classic anchovies on the pizza, smothering it in anchovies.
I love it.
Oh, tell you what, mate. Going to be good. The new menu's a cracker. There's a couple of samples for you.
Yeah, no, sounds pretty good. Everything's going off at the Wild Bull Brewery. Danny, thank you so much for this. Full video will be up on the Facebook page tonight. Oh, I'm going to have another one, mate.
Rip in, buddy.
Oh, you got to be excited about this. Oh, the royal wedding.
Oh, yeah, I'm
it's
excited.
It's not too far away, mate.
Champing at the bit, Alan.
I know you've already taken the day off on annual leave.
It's in the diary.
I know you're very excited about it. And I know that on Mum's shelf you normally would see something like those royal plates, those commemorative coins or even teaspoons. But
sure.
Here's another one. I don't know if you'll see this on Mum's shelf or not, but a brand new product they're releasing for the wedding. Now, we've seen those tea towels and mugs, even masks. We know that they love to capitalise on this sort of royal
paraphernalia.
Style. But one company has released, well, this might give it away in the title, Crown Jewels Heritage Condoms to mark the special occasion. You can really celebrate it with a bang,
Yeah, well played. Was it going to be that or the Royal Reservoir to save you from the Royal Thrush?
This is a legitimate product. They'll be released to buy on the 25th of March, which means you'll have a solid 6 weeks to try them out ahead of May 19th when the wedding takes place.
There you go.
Yeah.
6 weeks on the job before the wedding. Very good.
What? Do you reckon they'll use a... No, I don't want to even think about
that. I'm not even going to probe or contemplate that, Alan.
You can't say that. But I do not think you'll see this alongside the teaspoons and the plates on Mum's shelf. I think maybe in her wallet.
The bottom drawer, right at the back.
Friends, brands, advertising. Marketing man Barry Urquhart.
On Triple M.
Yes, I do have the managing director there at Marketing Focus. Morning to you, Barry.
Good morning, Alan.
Now, plenty to talk about today. I thought that we could touch a little bit on commercial rent. Now, we do hear about rental prices and all that kind of dropping at the moment. What does that mean for people that actually have to pay commercial rent?
Well, I think it means survival because just think about in the last 10 days, we've had Aussie Farmers Fresh, which has lost its business, which affects them directly, 100 franchisees, 260 staff and 50,000 customers throughout the year. And doubtlessly, many people listening to this program right now would have been directly and indirectly affected. You've had Retail Food Group have now declared that they're going to be closing down 200 of their outlets throughout Australia purely and simply because of high rents. So unless rents are reviewed and in many instances lowered, we are going to have less retail outlets, more vacancies and greater dissatisfaction and non-servicing of the customers.
So the people that are owning these properties that they're renting out, they need to have a good look at what they're doing then.
Yes, they are. Now, that's an interesting question in itself, because some of your listeners would be saying, well, hold on, why does this really interest me? Yeah. Well, it is a very big interest to many Australians, because increasingly the owners of shopping centres in Australia are superannuation funds, and superannuation funds expect returns, and their returns to a large extent is what is the value of the shopping centres, which is to itself determined by the rent that they're collecting. So consequently, if rents go down, the value of the assets go down, and therefore the returns to the superannuants is actually being adversely affected. But the reality is, if we look overseas in the last 3 years, Hong Kong rentals for retail has fallen by as much as 20%, and in Singapore it's been 10 to 20%. In Australia, it's progressively gone up, and so consequently you've got things like the Retail Food Group, Aussie Farmers Fresh, Oriton has been put into liquidation. Now, that's interesting in itself, because the buyer of that has gone to the retailers and said, given the fact that we have bought a liquidated business, the contracts for the leases are null and void. We want to renegotiate or we vacate immediately.
Okay. So how far should the prices be dropping, do you think? Like 20%, like Hong Kong?
Well, I think that you're probably going to get less than that. You'd probably get 5%. You're not going to have the situation where there's only 2% vacancies in Australia, but there's 7% on monthly rotation basis, and all of a sudden we're starting to see pop-up retail stores where they are taking it by a monthly sort of situation, whether it is in the arcades, the malls, or into vacant premises. But out of all of that, consumers will say, oh, that means that we're going to get lower prices. No, it really means that you're going to get survival and continuity of service of the retailers. Don't expect lower prices, because over the last 3 years, we have enjoyed to a large extent, particularly with supermarkets, price deflation to the extent that prices in the supermarkets, excluding fresh fruit and vegetables, have fallen by an average 6%.
Now, a lot of people in the southwest, particular Bunbury, are a little bit sad to learn the news that Mesa by Casella's, a great tapas restaurant, has announced that they're going to be closing down. Now, they're situated in a very, foot traffic-wise, pretty quiet area. How important is location when setting up businesses like this?
Well, it's all about location, location, location. But interestingly enough, let's put that into perspective. When consumers are determining where they're going to buy, convenience and accessibility is the single most important thing. Then the range of products becomes very important. Then it's price, and price is now more important than branding. But I suppose the one thing that I would say is that in restaurants, catering and that type of situation, there is an attrition rate of about 30%. So every 3 and a bit years, you've actually had 100% turnover of businesses in food and hospitality.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean the numbers fall, because we've always got entrepreneurs who are opening up new businesses. The numbers remain relatively static, but there is a high attrition rate and turnover of the businesses that are operating down there in Bunbury or the greater footprint of the southwest.
Excellent. Well, mate, thank you so much for that, and I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much, Barry.
Look forward to speaking to you next week, Alan.
Man, that, knows everything about the southwest, surely. Gary Brennan, the mayor of Bunbury. Morning to you, mate.
Good morning, Al. That's a big call. Yeah. Oh.
Do you know what the sounds of the Southwest is?
90%.
Now, plenty to talk about. Let's talk about the action sports that happened over the weekend. It sounded pretty good.
It was crazy. Yeah, Robin and I went down on Sunday midday to about 2 o'clock to watch the heats and finals of the wakeboarding. We were tied up with family on Saturday, but I heard, look, the feedback I've got from all the events, and there was a massive array of events in Bunbury on the long weekend, from the speedway to the sailing to action sports, the Chinese New Year. Everything was going off in Bunbury, but all the responses I got were really positive. Everybody had a great time. We had the top 7 wakeboarders in the world here.
Wow.
for that competition. The feedback from those young men was terrific. They loved Bunbury. They were very impressed with it. And on Friday at lunchtime, I had lunch with the executive team from Optus, the executive team, and, mm-hmm. and one of the general managers wants to move to Bunbury, so there you go.
Oh. Hopefully they can build a stadium here as well while they're out, eh?
Well, they've started.
Hey, I want to talk about this. It's been in the news a little bit in regards to some comments saying that the council may be divided. I thought, I've got you in the studio, might as well ask you TFAs. Any truth to this?
Not at all. Look, what happens, Alan, and what should happen in a healthy council and a healthy board and a healthy organisation is you have diversity of views, diversity of opinion, and that's driven by your background, your qualifications, your experience. So I think the worst situation you can have is everybody on the same page. You know, you have that diversity, you get robust debate and you get a much better outcome. And that's what we've had. We've had robust debate on a few issues, not many. And some people are disappointed with the outcome. I've lost a couple of those ones. You just move on. You really got to move on. And we're not divided. We're a robust, diversified council. And I think that's what the community wants and deserves.
Well, I couldn't imagine anything worse than just a bunch of yes men on every issue that comes through, or no men, like all just agreeing with each other. Sounds terrible.
It would be, yeah. That's very ordinary, that sort of situation. Thank goodness we don't have that here.
Yeah. Now, we've got to touch on this as well. The town planning scheme ain't...
Yes, finally, after 6 years, we submitted the final report to the state government in May last year, and it's going to be gazetted tomorrow. That's the latest we have. It was going to be gazetted Tuesday of this week, but tomorrow is it. So TPS 8 means that we've revamped our town planning scheme. We want to encourage higher density living within our central area. We want to encourage more diversity and mixed use along Spencer Street and other areas where you've got a ground floor, you've got a business, upstairs you've got accommodation, residential accommodation. And we've done that throughout. So we've provided a lot of incentive in that town planning scheme for landowners and developers to really work on Bunbury and invest in our great city like a lot of people already have done. But this TPS 8 gives even more incentive. And I encourage landowners, developers, professionals involved in the investment industry to really study that document, come in and talk to the city staff, find out what you can do with your property, and let's get moving again, because it really is an exciting time for our city.
Yeah, that sounds like it, and something very exciting as well. Paralympics coming up. Sean Pollard, I've got to touch on him.
Oh, what a champion. You know, a young man, horribly injured in a shark attack not that many years ago off Esperance. Great young athlete, terrific young man. He's come through some absolute, really challenging times. How can you imagine going through that? You must be mentally challenging, emotionally challenging, physically absolutely challenging. And here he is, Bunbury boy, representing Australia in the Paralympics. How good is that?
What impressed Aaron and myself was just the quick turnaround. It was only a few years ago that he was attacked by the shark, to turn it around and get to a Paralympic level in that time. It's unheard of.
Well, it is, and I think Sean would be the first to acknowledge the support he's got from his partner, his mates, his family. Everybody rallied behind Sean. He went through a tough, tough time, and good luck to him. I'm really proud of him. I hope he does really well. The fact he's there competing is enough for me, but wouldn't it be cool if he got a medal? That would be really cool.
Absolutely. Gary, thank you so much for the chat today, mate.
You're welcome, Al.
Sounds of the Southwest, Triple M.
Nobody likes the sound of creepy crawlies, but everyone loves this sound for Osmic Pest Control.
Hey, Alan here with you still. Thanks for listening to The Catch-Up. Aaron here with me as well.
Great to have you with us.
And Sounds of Southwest didn't go off again this morning.
I owe you one coffee. I thought it would be today.
I really thought today was going to be the day. We did have a clue on the pod catch-up for yesterday. So if you had the chance to listen to that one, you could have had more of a chance of guessing it correctly. And seeing that you're listening to the catch-up again today, we do appreciate it, and we are going to reward it. So here is a little bit more of a clue for Sounds of Southwest for you. And that's all. It's a little bit different. Hopefully that gives you a bit of an idea of what the Sound of the Southwest is. Of course, we do it all again tomorrow for, what is it now, $9,375 or something crazy like that.
That is
like
exactly
that.
What it is, $9,375.
Yeah, so we'll be taking your calls again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Catch you then.